next Sunday morning, regular service time, we're having Christmas communion. And so it's going to be a lot of fun for families. Bring your family, dress them up. Mom, just do it. Make them dress up. It's all right. All right. We're going to have some photo ops. We're going to have cookies and just refreshments. It's just going to be a fun morning. And we're also just going to take some time to really focus in on the Lord and just honor Him in communion. So I encourage you to get your families here for that next Sunday morning. And then we'll talk about the schedule, the church schedule for Christmas next week, because there's no point in telling y'all that right now. But it's going to be a good day next week. So I want to just jump right into this message today. We've been talking about the missing piece in our lives. And especially going into the holidays, we have this tendency to be weighed down. There's lots of things that do that. Some of us are just nervous about the finances of the whole thing. And we sort of are overcome with that. Some others are overcome by family issues. You're going to see that person next week. You're going to have to deal with some stuff that maybe has been left unsaid. Maybe some feelings that need to be dealt with. And it weighs us down. Or maybe it's a sense of loss from the past. Maybe that person that really made Christmas what it is in your family is no longer with us. And it's just a hard time for you. There's a million different reasons that the holidays are tough. It's been well documented by psychologists that the holidays are very difficult for people. And we sing songs like it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? And we all agree, and we love the Christmas lights, and we love the gifts, and we love the parties, and we love all of that. But it can be difficult. And so I want to start with this simple, this message this morning is going to be different than the way we usually do it on Sunday mornings. But I want you just to go ahead and open your Bibles or open your Bible app or however you do it. We got a bunch of scripture this morning. Just go ahead and open it up to Acts 27, Acts chapter 27. And while you're doing that, I want to say this. God is always working in your life and mine, always. There's not a time that God checks out and goes, well, I've done enough for now. I'm just going to stop doing what I do. I'm going to quit being God in their life for a week or two or a year or two. It never happens. God never does that. Sometimes we want to seek God's will. We pray for God's perfect will. And what we're praying for is a destination. We're praying for the right ending to the thing that's on our mind. God, help my family with this issue. And we think to where God is going to eventually get us by His miraculous power. And we think of the ending. And we forget about the journey of the whole thing. That God wants to work in your life and mine every single day. He is working. He wants us to recognize that He is working. And He is always changing things in our life. And when we only have the destination in mind, we lose the joy of the journey. We lose the peace. The peace is missing in our lives. We forget that God is concerned about what we're facing today. And we only think He's concerned with the big thing that we're thinking about. But I just want to encourage somebody this morning. God is working right now in your situation, doing exactly what you need Him to do, even when you don't see it and you don't know it. But now listen, that does not negate the fact that life is hard. I just want you to look at somebody and say, life is hard. Yeah. Life is tough. My family, I've talked about this recently here in church. My family has a hard time with me because I don't like sad movies. And my response is always, life is hard enough. I don't need to add on. I don't need to pile anything on. Let's find something happy, something silly, anything but something that's going to end with somebody dying in the end. I just can't. Look, if he doesn't win the girl, I don't want to see it. I don't want to know about this. All right. Life is difficult. We're all facing it. And Acts chapter 27 is the story of the Apostle Paul, one incident in the story of the Apostle Paul. Let me give you a little bit of background. Apostle Paul has been miraculously saved. His job before giving his heart to Christ, his job was to persecute Christians. That was what he did. Let me find out where those believers are gathering and let me go arrest them. We're gonna kill this thing that they're calling the church. As it's just being born, I mean, he is already just trying to destroy it. And he has this moment with God on the road. He's just doing what he does, and out of nowhere, look it up later, but he has this amazing experience with God, and God changes his heart immediately. And the Christians that were around were like, we don't trust him. I know he says he's a Christian, but no. And so it took him some time to get their confidence and for them to believe that he was actually who he said he was, that he had been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. And so when they finally started to accept him, he became a church leader, and he ends up writing a big portion of the New Testament. Now some of those books in the New Testament he wrote from house arrest. He had been arrested for preaching the gospel, and while they're waiting to deal with him, he's sending out letters and people are coming to see him. He wins the favor of the guards that are around him, and they're letting people come see him. They're sending out letters for him, and he is impacting the church world at that moment. And so he's been arrested, and he is in jail near Jerusalem, and they want to move him. Let's take a look at this map. They want to move him all the way over here from Caesarea on the far right corner. They want to move him from there all the way to Rome in the top left corner. It's a journey. It's a big journey. Should take a couple of months to do it, and it's a dangerous journey. And so some things start to happen in this journey. And I want us just to take this verse, this chapter 27, and really look at it as a metaphor. It's kind of an example of what your life and my life is when God is working. Now remember, God is always working, but life is not always easy. So he starts out on this journey. Some of these scriptures are going to be on the screen, some of them are not. I'll tell you when they are. You got your Bible open, so you can just start with me. Acts chapter 27, verse 1. We're going to leave the map up while we're talking about this. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. Now, let's stop there. There's a lot packed into there. The person who's writing this is Luke, Dr. Luke. Luke he didn't meet Jesus, but boy, he's heard so much about Jesus, it's as if he met him and he was around him. And then he gets connected with Paul, and he just wants to go everywhere Paul is going. And apparently Luke is a good writer, so he's writing it down as he goes. And so he says, here's what's happened. They want to send Paul to Rome. Now, the reason they're sending Paul to Rome is because he said, look, I, as a Roman citizen, you've arrested me, and I want to plead my case before Caesar, the main man in the Roman Empire. I want to plead my case there. And they're like, all right, well, that's the law. So we're going to take you all the way from Caesarea to Rome. There's going to be trouble along the way. Now, verse 2, we boarded a ship from Andromatium about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day, we landed in Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed Paul to go to his friends so he might provide for his needs. From there, we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus, or the side of the island of Cyprus, where there was no wind blowing, because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed in Myra in Lycia. Now, let's stop there. Here's what he's saying. We're on our journey. Stuff is happening. Things are going on. There are Roman soldiers that are taking these prisoners from Caesarea all the way to Rome. The Roman soldiers are in charge. If they see fit to kill a prisoner along the way, then they can. they are ultimately in charge. But again, Paul has won their confidence. And so when they land in one of these ports, they say, yeah, you can go see your friend here. Get the things you need from him, and then you can come back. They trusted him to come back. Now, why in the world would Paul come back after he's been arrested? Because he knew God was working even when he was under arrest. The only reason he didn't run for it is because Paul knew that God was working in that moment, and he wanted to stay in that moment to allow God to work. Now here's verse 6. Look at the screen. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmon. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lycia. Now, the person that found the ship they were going to be going on was the centurion. The centurion was a Roman officer who was over about 100 men. He was large and in charge. Whatever he said went. So he finds an Egyptian trade ship that is going the direction they're going. He says, all right, we're going to all get on this ship and we're going in the direction of Rome. There are times in your life and mine when we are going in a direction that we don't necessarily want to go, that things aren't happening the way we want them to happen, things aren't going the way we want them to go. As a matter of fact, we might be going in the opposite direction of where we want to be going. And it seems like other people have say-so in our lives and are causing some turmoil in our lives that we don't like. Paul got on a ship that he did not choose. He didn't want to go on that ship, but because of God's direction, he said, I'm going to go. The ship that would take Paul to God's assignment was chosen by Paul's enemy. If you don't get anything else this morning, get this. The ship that Paul would take to God's assignment for him was going to be in Rome. He was going to share the gospel from Rome. Rome was one of the most important places on earth. And he was going to get to share the gospel from Rome. But yet he was going to be held under arrest this entire time. And the very ship that he was going on was not even going to be chosen by him. It was going to be chosen by his enemy. There might be things going on in your life right now when you say, I wouldn't choose this. I don't want this. I don't like this. This is not where I want to go. This is not what I want to do. And it seems like that Satan is having his way with this. It seems like Satan is the one directing this. But here's what we need to remember. Sometimes we are on assignment from God. And God will allow circumstances in our life to move us that direction. But he's getting us there. He's taking us on this journey. So for anybody who says this morning, I'm sort of worried about where I'm headed, know this, God is in control of the ship, even if the devil picked it. God is in control of it. God will get you where you need to go, no matter who's involved and what's happening. Now, I'm going to skip a few verses here. We're going to go to verse 14. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called a northeaster swept down from the island, and the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. Now, he said, look, I'm on this boat. I'm going in the direction I'm supposed to go. This ship is being swept in directions we don't want it to go, but I'm going to stay on even though I have no control of it. He says, so we gave way to it and we were driven along. You know what that means? We just let go. We're just like, what? There's nothing we can do. It's taking us where it's taking us. We've all seen those movies of the guy who gets out in the ocean on a boat and it breaks down, and then he's just like 4 days later, his lips are chapped and he's all sunburned. He's like, he can't do anything. It's just floating where, this is what's happening to them. Now, they had food and water on board, but they finally had to let go. Somebody said to me one time, you got to let go and let God. You just got to open up and let God do what he wants to do. You just got to say, Lord, here I am. I'm in the middle of this ocean. There will be storms along the way. And you just got to ask God to guide you in the middle of the storm. Now, listen, I pick on the control freaks in the room sometimes. But for the people who love to be in control, this is hard. Boy, we don't like it when we have to give up control. But sometimes God has to get us in the middle of an ocean where we have no control about our direction so he can remind us who's in charge. So he can remind us that this is his will and his plan and not our plans. Somebody said one time, if you really want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. You ever do that one? It's like, well, we're going to do this and this, and we're on the five-year plan. A year in, you're like, I don't even remember what the five-year plan was. We're headed in the opposite direction. I don't know where we're going. There will be storms that are going to take over from time to time. You got a beautiful plan together, and then the storm hits, and you got to just go, well, I'm going to have to roll with it for a little bit. Many times that storm is sickness. You're like, this is not what I had planned. Some of you, like, I haven't eaten a cheeseburger in 27 years, and now I got a heart attack. What in the world? I had a plan, and here we are. I want to encourage somebody. If you can't control it, you got to let it go. Storms are going to come from time to time. Verse 16, as we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, you notice that? They're always going to the side of the island where there's no wind. They're looking for a place just for a respite, just for a rest. They just want a place where they can take a breath, where the wind is not blowing them out of control. We were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. This is important. So the men hoisted it aboard. They pulled the lifeboat aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Now listen, times are tough when you're tying a ship together with ropes. They actually ran the ropes under the boat, their boat, this big boat, had 276 people on this boat, and they're tying it together in this storm with ropes. Anybody feel like your life is tied together with ropes right now? Like, and they're just snapping twig by twig and fiber by fiber. We don't know what we're going to do. Paul knew what you were talking about. Because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Sardis, and they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. Again, they dropped an anchor, and it wasn't holding them. An anchor, you drop an anchor, and it's supposed to hold you in place. And they dropped an anchor, and they're still being swept along. That anchor is dragging the bottom. Some of us are clawing and scraping in the opposite direction, and God is saying, right now, this is where you're going. This is the way. You can dig in until your fingernails are gone, but you're still going to go this way. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. Whew. They did what they could. They did what they could. They took care of the things they could take care of. Sometimes in our life, God is helping us. He's allowing the storm to show us we got to lighten the load. I'm saying this to somebody, all right? Sometimes we have loaded our life down with so much stuff. And it's causing us to weigh heavy in the water. We're slow. We can't go in the direction that God wants us to go because we're so weighed down. And then storms hit, and then you start to prioritize. You don't even mean to. You start to prioritize, well, that's not important. And that's not important. Let me get this out of here. Let me get this in here. I need to make sure I got room for this because this is important. We get rid of things that are not important. We lighten the load. We start living inside the margins. We decide that these are the things that are vital. We have to have these things. They did what they could. There are times in our life where we got to do things that the thing that we can do. Lord, help me to unload. Will you just take a minute right now and just pray that prayer in your own way? Lord, help me to unload the the stuff that's not supposed to be on this boat. Lord, help me unload the things that are weighing me down. Lord, I know there's a storm going on, but help me to get rid of the stuff that is not vital to your plan for my life. Let me unload. I'm clawing, I'm fighting, I'm doing my part, but Lord, help me to unload. Let's look at verse 19. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. I just want to stop here. They had gotten so desperate that they started to dismantle the ship. The parts of the ship that were not absolutely vital. They said, we're going to get rid of this. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Let me tell you this. There's that moment when you get to the end of your abilities, your money, your strength. You get to the end and you go, I got nothing left. I don't have anything to offer. And that's the point at which God can do the most in our lives. As long as I'm depending on me and my abilities, God can't get me where he wants me to go. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. Because Paul had already told them, look, you need to stay here. And they were like, we're in charge. The owner of the ship said, I got it. I've been doing this a long time. They didn't realize that Paul had advice that from somebody else. God had been talking to them. Paul says, look, you should have taken my advice. You could have been spared all this damage and all this loss. But here's the problem. Sometimes when this is not going to be encouraging. Okay, we're getting to the encouraging part. Sometimes we think it's about to get better. I'm about to get to that destination I've been hoping for. And sometimes things get worse before they get better. Sometimes it has to drop another notch so that God can get all the glory for it, so that God can do what he was trying to do, so that God can work in the way that he's trying to work. Verse 22, but now I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. He said, look, it's going to be okay because God told me last night. These were men who were not believers in Christ. And he said, look, the God that I serve, he spoke to me last night. He told me I was going to be okay. And because you're with me, you're going to be okay too. See, there are moments when we are struggling and with difficult circumstances. And God's already promised he's going to help us. That he's going to provide for us. He's going to walk with us through these difficulties. But God wants us to share that message with somebody. That we get to say, God's already promised that he's going to go all the way through this storm with me. That I'm going to come out on the other side. And in this case, Paul said, look, God told me you're going to be okay too. That you're going to walk out of this. But it's going to be difficult. And so even though they had to run the ship aground, even though more problems were coming, they had to maintain perspective, God's perspective. God is working on this journey, not just at the beginning and the end, but God is working on the journey. God is working in the middle of it. Look at verse 30. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. You got to get this picture. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So here's what happened. Some of the Roman soldiers were like, you know what, or some of the sailors were like, you know what, we know there's a lifeboat over here. We're just going to sneak over here and pretend we're doing sailor stuff. and we're going to lower the lifeboat down, and we're going to let these people have this big boat. We're going to take this little boat. We're going to shore. We're saving our lives. They were going to save themselves with human power, human ingenuity. And then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. He said, look, if you don't stay on the ship with us, you're not going to be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Talk about faith. They said, one minute they're saying our life will be saved by this lifeboat. And when Paul spoke the word of God into their lives, they said, you know what? We're staying with him. There's something going on with this guy that's different than with anybody that's with us. And they didn't just let the rope extend and keep the lifeboat close by. They cut the ropes. They let go of anything that would save them other than God. Sometimes earthly answers are just not enough. Sometimes the storm and the difficulty in your life and mine, that what we can do is just not enough. God is working. God is always working. Verse 33, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. I love that part. He said, look, you guys need to eat something. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You have eaten. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And after he said this, now watch this. He took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. And then he broke it and began to eat. And they were all encouraged and ate some food for themselves. All together, there were 276 of us on board. Just get this. He said, I want you to sit down and eat. I want you to eat. You know, our society is grab something real quick, eat it in the car on the way to the next thing. Go, hurry, rush. Human activity. Move quickly. Do what you can do. And Paul said, look, fellas, you've been working for 14 days. It's been dark. You've been toiling for 14 days. You haven't even taken time to eat. It's important that you take a minute, you eat some food, you receive the provision that God has for you. You receive what God has already provided for you. Has God already provided something for you in this journey? Has God provided something along the way? The journey is long and there's going to always be trouble, but has God provided something along the way that you keep thinking, but I want to get to the end of the journey. I want to get to the end. I want the prize at the end. And God says, look, I need you to take a minute. I just want you to sit down and eat. I want you to give thanks. The Bible says after they took some food and gave thanks, they were encouraged. They were encouraged. When they recognized what God had already provided, they were encouraged that God would provide more. We got to receive what he's already given us. Now let's skip on to verse 42. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners. Now, this is crazy. First of all, let's go back a second. Remember, the sailors are going to steal the lifeboat and save themselves. And Paul says to the Roman soldiers, hey, if you let them go, you're going to die too, right here with us. Nobody's going to be manning this boat. You're going to die right here. So the sailors cut the cord, let it go. And then they have to run aground to save their lives. They are still in the ocean, but they are stuck on a sandbar. And the soldiers plan to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. Now, can you imagine? All of them are like, hey, we're going to get rid of all these soldiers. I mean, all these prisoners, they're gone. But the centurion that had built a relationship with Paul wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. And he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on the planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Come on to the piano, y'all. We have this idea that when God is going to show up in our lives, that we're just going to stroll in and everything is going to be intact and we're going to be rich and handsome again. And that life is just going to be perfect and things are going to look great and all of that. That's not what happened in this story. They were saved, but the Bible said they, some of them were hanging on the planks. When they hit the sandbar, the ship started to come apart. And some of them grabbed planks and beams and anything they could so that they would have a way to float to the shore. But they got there, and the Bible says, in this way, everyone reached land safely. It might not look the way you want it to look. It might not look the way you want it to look. But God's working. God's changing. God's developing. God's moving. God wants to give us peace along this journey. Our job is to say, Lord, what are you doing? And let me get involved in that. We have a tendency to say to God, Lord, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Here's my list. We get amused at our children when they sit on Santa Claus's lap and they say, I want this and this and this and this. And about, you know, four things down, you're like, you're not getting anything else on that list, no matter what you say. You're not getting it. I mean, I'm happy that you feel good talking to Santa Claus right now, but it ain't happening. And yet we do the same thing with God. God, I want this and this and this. And God tells us to ask, and we should. But sometimes God is working even when the boat is falling apart and we're holding on to splinters. He's still working. His promises are still true. I would say there are people that are online this morning and people in this room right now that would say, man, 2022 was rough. I feel like the boat fell apart. I feel like the storms were pretty tough. Or maybe it's been 2 or 3 years or longer. Life is tough. But the promises of God are forever. God's promise, He's going to go with us all the way even to the end. He is not going to forget about us. That He just loves us and He just cares about us. And He has a plan. So I just want to end with this. If you feel like you're holding on to a broken plank off the ship, just hang on. Don't quit now. Understand that God had a plan from Caesarea all the way to Rome, and God was not going to change that plan. It was their job simply to stay faithful. Just to stay faithful. So somebody, Christmas might be rough, but God's going to be faithful. God's going to be faithful. It says it. In this way, everyone reached land safely. You're going to get there. I'm going to get there. We just got to trust Him. We got to trust Him. People in this room that are right now trying to control your kids, your grown kids, you're trying to force them to love Jesus. Stop it. You haven't been had any peace in so long, but they're not doing right. I know. You still can't make them. You can pray for them. You can show them what the love of Jesus looks like here on earth. There are people right now that are worried, I'm not going to be able to give my kids as much for Christmas as the people next door. So what? So what? Give them your time. Give them what you can give them and quit trying to control the stuff you can't. Let go of the stuff you can't control. Holding on to a lifeboat in the middle of a storm is not the way to win. Let it go and let God help you and let God guide you. There are sicknesses right now that we can't control. We cannot control. But God has promised to be with us in that. That God will move us. We've seen, even recently in the last few weeks, we've seen prayers answered right here at Grace Point in miraculous ways. But it wasn't because someone was holding on to a lifeboat. It was because God showed up and answered and worked and moved in those circumstances. Trust Him today. Just trust Him. And here's how we're going to do it. It starts with surrender. Lord, this is a big boat. We got lifeboats. We got food on board. We got sailing tackle on board. We got everything, God. And yet it's not enough. It's not going the way I want it to. So, Lord, I'm just going to put my hands in the air. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to give you thanks for the provision you have given me, just like Paul did. And I'm going to eat what you've already given me. I'm going to trust you in those moments. And then, Lord, I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to be encouraged. I'm not going to live in this depressed state. I'm not going to live being overcome. I'm not going to live being worried all the time. I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to live knowing that you've provided this far and you're going to continue to provide into the future. Amen. And I'm going to trust you, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Can we just right now, just in your own way, if you want to lift your hands as a sign of surrender, however you want to do this, and say, Lord, I'm surrendering all of my control to you. I can't do it. I know you're taking me on a journey, and I know I don't have what it takes. So I'm going to put my trust in you. Maybe it's one of your family members you're surrendering to the Lord today. Or maybe it's finances, or maybe it's health, or a job. Whatever it is, let's surrender it to him today and trust him. Father, we thank you right now for every good thing. God, you've provided so much already. And we know this, Lord. We know that you've answered us. We know that you've blessed us. And we just want to take time, God, to say thank you for the provision you've already given, the stuff you've already provided. God, we thank you and we give you the credit for that. And Lord, we just ask today, Lord, that you help us surrender and unload what we need to give up so that you can have your way. God, we want to get rid of the stuff that's weighing our lives down, Lord. It could be a habit, Lord, that we need to unload. Or maybe it's bitterness that we need to unload. But God, whatever it is that is weighing us down so that we cannot get to our destination. Today, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to let go. And just let you do whatever it is you need to do and work in our lives like only you can. And God, we pray for every person in the room, every person online today, God, that you would speak to our hearts that missing peace, God, the peace that is missing in our lives, where we live in fear and worry and doubt and anxiety. Lord, we pray that there will be joy and contentment and peace. Lord, we receive that today. Lord, we speak it in the name of Jesus. The miraculous peace of God that passes all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, Lord. We speak it, we claim it, we receive it today. We thank you, God, for what you're doing right now, Lord. We receive it. We receive it. Lord, I pray that this Christmas would be a Christmas of peace like never before in the homes and families represented here today. There would be peace, Lord, even when the circumstances aren't perfect, that there would be peace. Knowing, Lord, that you are always working, that you are always answering, that you are always moving. We give you praise right now, and we thank you in Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage somebody right here to trust God for the end of your story. Trust God for the end of your story. Because if you trust him for the end, you got to trust him for the whole story. If it's going to turn out the way God wants it to turn out, you're going to have to trust him from now until you're looking him eyeball to eyeball in heaven one day. So just trust him. Trust him. Trust him. The men on that ship, and I'm going to close with this. The men on that ship were saved because they were on that ship with the Apostle Paul. What made Paul special? Nothing except a relationship with Jesus Christ. That was it. God had a plan for him. So I want to say this to somebody. There are people in your life that need you to walk close to Christ because their lives are blessed because you are walking close to Christ. Don't get weary in well-doing, the Bible tells us. Don't get weary now. They need you to be strong. They need you to have faith. They need you to be on your knees in prayer. They need you. Why? Because you're the one that's connected to Christ right now. One day they will be too. But right now, they need you. You are their lifeline to the Savior. Or maybe there's people in your life that are believers, but they just need you to be strong. We're praying right now that you would have peace so that you can be strong and you can be in prayer and you can be the man or woman that God's called you to be so you can be a light and a connection for the other people in your life. Amen. All right, we're going to pray before we go. Father, we thank you right now. God, you've been so good to us. Lord, you've answered our prayers and you've blessed us. And we pray today, right now, that as we move forward in our relationship with you, most of all, God, that we would honor you and then that we would trust you in this journey. And we pray again for peace, Lord, that missing peace, the missing peace that we have been looking for. We pray, God, that you'd miraculously provide it today in Jesus' name. Amen.